Welcome to Tardi Mecha Parsha. My name is Adina Schmidman. Join us this Motzai Shabbos, September 9th, for Slichot Night of Inspiration with Mrs. Michal Horowitz and Mrs. Slavi Young-Rice-Wolf, available on demand. Sign up for reminders and other Yimei Ratzon ideas and inspiration programs at ouwomen.org/yr23. And now for this week's Parsha.
Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying a double parasha, Parashiot Nitzavim and Vayelech. In Parashat Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu continues with the renewal of the covenant first entered into at Har Sinai, and now be confirmed by the generation about to enter the land. The parasha opens with the words, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, you are standing here today. The Midrash highlights the juxtaposition of this phrase with the section of curses with which the previous parasha concluded, seeing in this connection a hint that while the Jewish people will endure terrible suffering throughout history, we will emerge standing straight, having gained strength from adversity. Moshe notes that all members of the nation, from the leaders down to the woodcutters and water bearers, men, women, and children, without exception, are present and included in the covenant. This covenant is binding not only upon those physically present at that time, but also extends to future generations. Et asher yeshno po imanu omed hayom lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, ve'et asher einenu po imanu hayom. Those who are present with us, standing here today before Hashem, and those who are not with us, those souls yet to be born. Moshe Rabbeinu introduces the idea of arivut, the mutual responsibility one Jew bears toward another. Nevertheless, he warns, no one will be able to capitalize on this idea and twist it so that it becomes self-serving. One who hears the punishments that would befall the nation should they abandon God and his Torah and says to himself, Shalom yihyeh li, I'll be okay. I have nothing to worry about. I can do as I wish, and my sins will be absorbed by the vast majority whose good deeds will cover for me. Such a person will be singled out by God for punishment and not judged as a member of the community. Moshe tells us, Hanistarot l'Hashem Elokeinu, v'haniglot lanu ulevaneinu ad olam. The hidden things belong to Hashem, but revealed things apply to us and to our children forever. There are numerous explanations as to what Moshe is referring to when he uses the terms hidden things and revealed things. Rashi explains the phrases within the context of the threatened punishments should we violate the covenant. Lest we complain, how can we be held responsible as a community for the sins of individuals? Moshe clarifies that sins which are hidden from public view will be punished by Hashem himself. It is only those that are flouted publicly for which the community is held responsible and must be prosecuted by the Beit Din. Rav Moshe Sternbach Shlita, in his Sefer Tam Vadad, offers several other interpretations. First, he suggests that the Pasuk is referring to Hashem's conduct of the world, which remains concealed from human understanding. He cites examples of historical challenges to our faith, such as the Holocaust and the religious persecution in communist countries, explaining that these fall into the category of Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu. The reasons for the suffering engendered by these events are beyond the scope of human understanding. What remains for us is what has been revealed, Hashem's expectations of us, as outlined in the Torah. Thus, Moshe is reminding us that even if we experience suffering and the concealment of God's presence, we must adhere faithfully to our promise, La'asot et kol divrei ha-Torah hazot, to actively perform the mitzvot without questioning God's ways. Rav Sternbach further cites the Midrashic explanation that the hidden things refers to the timing of the future ge'ula, the future redemption. The revealed things refers to our responsibility to repent and do good deeds and to anticipate the coming of Mashiach, even should he seem to be delayed. It is not for us to choose the time for Mashiach to come. It is our job to bring his coming closer through the performance of mitzvot, keeping our end of the bargain. Thus, Hanistarot, the timing of the coming of Mashiach, LaHashem Elokeinu, that's for Hashem to determine, V'haniglot, keeping the mitzvot of the Torah in order to bring him closer, Lanu ulevaneinu ad olam, that's our responsibility and that of our children for all future generations. Having taught this principle of arivut, of mutual responsibility for the spiritual well-being of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu now continues with the section known to us as Parashat HaTeshuvah, in which he introduces the concept of teshuvah, repentance, or more literally, return. He declares that when in time both the blessings and subsequently the curses will have befallen us, and we find ourselves scattered among the nations, we will begin to ponder our fate and recognize that our plight was brought upon us by Hashem as a function of his love for us, to sensitize us to the effects of our behavior, and in the hope that we will ultimately return to him with all of our hearts and souls. Fittingly, this parasha is always read before Rosh Hashanah. The commentators are divided as to whether the teshuvah described here is a prophecy or an imperative, a positive commandment. The Sefer HaChinuch does not number it among the 613 biblical commandments, while the Ramban considers this both a prophecy and a command. Moshe Rabbeinu tells us that should we take the initiative to return to Hashem and his Torah, Hashem will welcome us with open arms, so to speak. In Perek Lamed, Pasuk Gimel, chapter 30, verse 3, Moshe states, "Vishav Hashem Elokecha et shvutcha v'richamecha, v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim asher hafitzcha Hashem Elokecha shama." Hashem will bring back your captivity and have mercy upon you. He will return and gather you from among all the nations among which he has dispersed you. Even if your exiles are scattered to the edges of the heavens, Hashem will gather you from there and take you in, returning you to the land you inherited from your forefathers, where you will prosper and multiply even more than your forefathers. The commentators note that the conjugation of the word vishav is irregular. For it to mean that Hashem will bring you back, as it seems to mean contextually, it should have said v'heishiv, which means to bring. As it stands, it sounds as though it means that Hashem himself will return, Vishav. From this irregularity, Chazal teach us that Hashem is, so to speak, exiled along with the Jewish people. He will return along with us at the time of the ultimate redemption. At that time, the curses we have suffered will be placed upon those enemies who have persecuted us, and we will enjoy success in all our endeavors and rejoice once again in our renewed relationship with Hashem. Lest we think that this is beyond us, that the sincere repentance required by the Torah is too much to take on, too demanding, too remote, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches, "Ki ha-mitzvah hazot asher anochi mitzavcha hayom lo nifleti mimcha v'lo rechokahi." For this mitzvah which I am commanding you today, and this mitzvah, the commentators are divided by what Moshe Rabbeinu precisely means by this, ha-mitzvah hazot, this mitzvah. Is he referring to the specific mitzvah of teshuvah which he has just outlined, or is it a broader reference to the Torah in its entirety, the covenant which he is renewing between Hashem and the Jewish people? In either case, Moshe says, "Ki ha-mitzvah hazot, this mitzvah which I am commanding you today, lo nifleti mimcha, it's not beyond you, v'lo rechokahi, it's not remote from you, lo bashamayim hi, le'mor mi ya'ale lanu hashamayim v'yikacheha lanu v'yashmi'enu ota v'na'asena." The Torah is not up in the heavens that we must say who will go up to the heavens and retrieve it for us and tell it to us that we may observe it. V'lo me'ever layam hi. It's not across the sea. Le'mor mi ya'avor lanu et ever hayam v'yikacheha lanu v'yashmi'enu ota v'na'asena. That we might say, who will cross the sea and fetch it for us, bring it back and tell it to us that we may observe it. Rather, it is close to you, ki karove lecha hadavar me'od, very close to us, in your mouths and in your hearts so that you may fulfill it, beficha ubilvavcha la'asoto. These verses have many interpretations that resonate especially in this season of repentance and our desire to rehabilitate our relationship with Hashem and improve our performance of the mitzvot. Lo bashamayim hi, Torah is not esoteric or transcendental. It is an integral guide to our everyday practical life. The Gemara teaches that lo bashamayim hi reflects that Torah is not found among the arrogant, those whose heads are in the sky. It is the province of every man. We are all students, seekers, determined to learn and grow. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains the need for two metaphors for the concept of the Torah's accessibility, both the heavens and the earth. Neither knowledge and understanding of the Torah, represented by the analogy of the heavens, is beyond our ability to grasp, nor is the practice of Torah, kiyum hamitzvot, observance of the commandments, beyond our reach on the other side of the ocean. It is close to us, within the reach of every individual Jew. Thus, these psukim are written in the singular, addressed to every one of us. Once again, Moshe Rabbeinu presents us with a choice. Love Hashem, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, and live a life of blessing in the land we are about to enter. Alternatively, if we choose to turn away from Hashem and abandon his commandments, we will be exiled and dispersed. Moshe advises us, pleads with us, Ubacharta b'chayim, choose life that you may endure in the land, you and your descendants, as promised to our forefathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Our second parasha, Parashat Vayelech, opens with the words, Vayelech Moshe vayidaber et hadvarim ha'ele el kol Yisrael. Moshe went and spoke these words to all of Israel. Where did he go? And what did he say? This pasuk highlights the contrast between the words to follow and everything that has been said until now in Sefer Dvarim, and especially in the last two parashiyot, concerning the renewal of the covenant. Up to this point, even though these have been the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, and as we pointed out, the Ramban noted in the very beginning of the Sefer, we don't find the usual phrases, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, or Tzavet Bnei Yisrael, throughout Sefer Dvarim. We're not told that Hashem gave Moshe direct messages to relay to the nation. Still, until now, Moshe had been speaking to the entire nation as an assembly in his role as the shaliach, the messenger of Hashem, still fulfilling his mission of leadership. At this point, he ceases to function as a public persona, and it is Moshe, the humble man, who leaves the Machane Leviah where he was camped and walked from tribe to tribe, bidding them farewell individually and offering words of comfort upon his impending death and encouragement as he prepares to leave them for the final time before their entry into the land. It is actually on the very day of his death that Moshe made these rounds to say farewell to the nation that he had brought into being. According to Ibn Ezra, it is at this time that the blessings recorded in Parashat Vizot HaBracha, the last parasha of the Sefer, which we will read on Simchat Torah, were actually given by Moshe to each Shevet as he visited each tribe to say a personal goodbye. Moshe offers words of comfort to the people, saying, I am already 120 years old and have lived a long and productive life. I can no longer lead you, for Hashem has decreed that I will not enter the land. Nevertheless, Hashem will be with you. He will lead you into battle, and you will emerge victorious, as you did in the wars against Sihon and Og. Hashem will deliver your enemies into your hands, and you must act towards them as I have instructed you. Be strong and resolute. Do not fear the nations of Canaan, for Hashem will constantly be with you. After concluding his personal messages, Moshe turned to address Yehoshua in front of all the people, encouraging him and charging him with the mission of bringing the people into the promised land, a mission in which he will be accompanied at all times by Hashem's presence and direct supervision. Therefore, there is no need for fear or concern. Having charged Yehoshua with his mission of leading the people in battle for the conquest of the land, Moshe now writes a complete Sefer Torah and gives it to the Kohanim and Zekenim, who are charged with teaching the Torah to future generations. Moshe secured the integrity of the written law, the Torah Shebichtav, by providing these teachers with an authoritative text to be transmitted to the nation. Moshe now introduces a new mitzvah related to the transmission of the Mesorah, the mitzvah of Hakhel, gathering the entire nation together at the conclusion of each Shemitah year on the Sukkot of the eighth year of the agricultural cycle, to hear the reading of the Torah in Yerushalayim, read by the king on a special platform constructed for this purpose in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. This gathering included men, women, and children, even those too young to understand what was being read. The impact of the fanfare associated with this occasion was so great that Chazal tell us that this was why Yerovam ben Nevat posted guards to prevent the people of the northern kingdom from going to Yerushalayim and Aliyah LaRegel, and why he set up his own temples to lure them away from Hashem. He was afraid that if the people went up to Yerushalayim and experienced the power of Hakel, including the words of the Torah being read by the king of Judea, they would reject him and his breakaway kingdom and return their loyalty to the king of Yehuda. And the purpose of the Hakel ceremony was primarily educational. L'ma'an yishmu'u u'lema'an yilmidu v'yar'u et Hashem Elokeichem v'shamru la'asot kol divrei ha'Torah hazot, in order that they hear and learn and that they will fear God and carefully observe the words of the Torah. The children who were not present at Har Sinai and may not even have yet begun to study are singled out as the subjects for whom Hakel is most significant. This sort of microcosmic replay of the excitement of Kabbalat HaTorah in the presence of the entire nation led by the king will energize and motivate them to learn and to observe the Torah and to fear and revere Hashem. The last section of the parasha is devoted to a prophecy of foreboding. Hashem tells Moshe that after he dies, the people will deviate from the path of Torah and worship foreign gods. They will suffer many harsh punishments and might feel that God has abandoned them. Va'anochi haster astir panai bayom hahu al kol hara'a asher asa ki pana el Elohim achirim. And I shall surely hide my face on that day, says Hashem, for all the evil that they have done, in that they turn to other gods. Chazal note the double language, haster astir, to denote Hashem hiding his countenance from the Jewish people, and saw in this a reference to Esther Hamalka and the miracle of Purim, which occurred at a time of double punishment, the threat of Haman's decree, which compounded the fact that the Jewish people were already suffering the punishment of exile in the Persian Empire. At any time in history, when we suffer punishment above and beyond the state of exile in which we already live, we experience this phenomenon of Hester Panim, feeling that God is hiding his face from us, abandoning us to the vagaries of nature. Nevertheless, there is a reassuring aspect to this prophecy, in that God is promising that he never will, in fact, abandon us. He may make it difficult for us to perceive his constant presence because he is concealing himself from us, but he is always there, hidden, but ever present. To cement this concept in our minds, Hashem tells Moshe to record the song that he is about to impart to him. Ve'ata kitvu lachem et hashira hazot ve'lamda et bnei Yisrael. Now record this song, referring to Parashat Ha'azinu, which we will learn the week following Rosh Hashanah, and which encompasses all of Jewish history as testimony that Hashem warned of all that would happen should we abandon the Torah. May we be strengthened in our study and observance of Torah and mitzvot, and may we soon merit the complete restoration of our relationship with Hashem and return to the land of our forefathers. Thank you for studying together, and best wishes for Iktiva v'chatima tova, shana tova u'mevorachat.